Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. We got a new guest this week. Our close personal friend and childhood buddy, Keith Ham, from the great state of Ohio, a New England implant, and hockey guy, sports guy, will fit right in. I've been trying to get him on. We're light. We're killing a penalty this week. It was supposed to be a 5-on-3. Ed, he's having a party, couldn't make it. Bradford, tinfoil hat, Brad, you know, he couldn't make it either. He's got a tournament with the young son, and family first. We know it. So speaking of family, we're going to bring Keith into the family. We're going to get him on. We're going to get him rolling. So with that being said, we haven't seen our buddy, Chris, in a while. And he's got a bone to pick. Before we get to this week's email, he wants to address what he couldn't address last week's email. So, Chris, the floor is yours. Take it away.
Hey, it's been 2 weeks. You know, I had to reassess life, change some goals. I did that in 2 weeks. Imagine what I could do in a month, right? So I missed the email from Mr. Paul, tough guy from Oswego, New York, right? I'll summarize real quick. He said, it's an absolute dog shit podcast, I believe. Perfect example of guys living in their mother's basement, bunch of New England homers. You know, we couldn't get laid in a whorehouse with $1,000 bills on us. Interesting, Paul. Very good email. We love hate email, right? It's our favorite. Unfortunately, this is a kid's show, so I'm going to be very cautious with what I say, okay?
Kid show.
You know what? Fuck it. Mama Clark, you might want to block your ears, okay? Paul, you fake-ass New Yorker, okay? You live in this little shit-hole town, shit-stained town, nowhere near where any normal people live out in New York. So don't act like you're an actual New Yorker because you're not, okay? First of all, you guys are known for your ports and your stupid little lighthouses and museums. Absolutely sad. You live around fresh water, dude. You don't even live around salt water like we do here in New England. Like, you're an absolute fake all around, all right? And about ladies and girls and all that stuff, while you're trying to find some celibate out there, I'll be having my girl lick saltwater caviar off my nuts later, all right? So thanks for the email, brother.
I don't know how to follow that up other than, hey, get ready for this week's email without Ed. So, Chris, you got big shoes to fill? Tom, big shoes to fill with Ed? Or...
Oh, yes.
So, let's do it on the couch, but
nope.
Take it away.
No couch here. All right. This week's email is brought to you by Goon Guard. Protect your chicklets. Scientifically proven, 2 times better impact and absorption than traditional mouth guards. You microwave it in a minute, set it up in your mouth. You can get your own custom colors, put your name on it, whatever you want to do. Andy shows you the package. There it is again. If you can't, there it is. All right. Today's email comes from Betty from Julian, California. Where can we find your individual social media accounts? I believe that you would have a home run with an OnlyFans page for your audience. All right, Betty. Unfortunately, I'd love to kick it to Ed because I believe he's the only one that may have an OnlyFans account, but he's not here. So let's send it out to Tom. What do you got, Tom, on that?
Well, make it clear that Ed is all about his feet. So, you know, nobody wants to see anything that's here in an OnlyFans. So I'm going to spare everyone. And I'm going to keep my social media things private because there are some crazy people out there. And I want to stay in my bunker.
So as far as social media, there's plenty of ways that you can kind of get a hold of us. We're on everything. What are we on? We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on TikTok. We're on X or Twitter or whatever. As far as OnlyFans page, that would be some kind of huge jump to get that. I mean, that's Chris, the OnlyFans page for the podcast. What do you think?
I mean, listen, I'll try anything once, dude. I mean, if we need to get together and do some weird kind of shit, I'm a, dude, whatever, guy. We're grown ass men, you know. Let's do it.
Locker room stuff.
Whatever.
It's kid show, though.
we've seen it all in the locker room, in the hockey locker room. You know, today was one of my first games on the ice. You know what I've seen there? A bunch of kind of it was interesting.
Let me ask Keith this question because it kind of pertains to the email. Keith, if you watch an episode or listen to an episode, where do you usually go to see it?
I usually go to YouTube.
Yeah. Actually.
Yeah, I usually YouTube it, just throw it in the car usually when I'm driving between tournaments or wherever the heck I'm going that weekend, and just throw it in the car and listen to it. Best place. Easy.
Cool. I said last week on the podcast that the YouTube feed is probably the best one. It gets, you know, we give all the clips and the little videos that we add in. It kind of loses a little bit on the audio as far as like when we're on Spotify, Apple, a couple of the other ones. Tom, what am I missing?
iHeartRadio, Pandora.
Yeah, so we're on everything. I mean, there's plenty of ways to get a hold of us. I mean, just drop us an email or shoot us, as the kids say, a DM, Chris? A DM?
Yeah, we can do DMs. We can do. If she wants, she can come to my TikTok page. I don't mind giving it out. It's C Silva Bruins. I put stuff sometimes on the podcast. I do cooking stuff on there. You know, come check it out. It's a open account to anybody. Anybody can check it out. So.
Yep. So Chris can change his tag in the corner to his social media handle if somebody wants to check that out. It's easy to get a hold of us. With these emails I get are have to be filtered through because there's a couple that I just gotta try the next one. So, but send the emails in. We'll get to it and we'll have fun with that. So, on to the next stuff, Tom.
Nope.
NFL talk. We'll get into some NFL.
Yeah, there was a lot of movement here coming in the last week or so, and then. Even today with a trade, there were the big trade today was the Chicago Bears traded Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 2025 sixth round pick that could become a fourth round pick, depending on how many snaps he takes next year. But the Kirk Cousins signed with Atlanta, Saquon Barkley signed with Philly, my boy Derrick Henry from Tennessee left Tennessee, signed with Baltimore. And then my team signed Tony Pollard from Dallas, which I wish Brad was there because I'm not a big fan of Tony Pollard. So I think that was a loss on my team's part. But talking about free agency, like winners and losers, I thought Green Bay did a great job. They got Josh Jacobs from your Las Vegas Raiders. And then they got a strong safety, Xavier McKinney, that's down to shore up their team. And then the Houston Texans, I thought, did a really good job. They added Joe Mixon on offense for running back, and then on defense they added Danielle Hunter from the Vikings, Azeez Al-Shaair from the Tennessee Titans, and Danico Autry. So I think those were the two winners. And then, I mean, I won't call losers or anything, but I mean, the Patriots to me didn't do anything worthwhile. You can't tell me they couldn't have given up a draft pick for Justin Fields. I mean, I like Jacoby Brissett, but I'm not a fan of their offseason so far.
Keith, have you been following the NFL or you just been all hockey mostly?
Yeah, I'm mostly hockey, but I've been following a little bit. It like Tom said, the Patriots kind of a disappointment. I thought they would throw a splash. I really thought the Justin Fields thing might actually come to fruition, but it doesn't look like it. That's it. I mean, I follow a little bit of the Bengals because my kid's a big Bengals fan. And then sadly I'm a loser in the Derrick Henry as well. Since my youngest is a huge Derrick Henry fan, it's going to cost me another jersey, I can see. So I'm going to take the L on that one. So.
Chris, want to weigh in on the NFL moves this?
I got nothing, man. I mean, like Tom already cleared up about the Pats, pretty disgraceful. You know, I'm kind of both. I'm in between the Niners and the Pats. So I can't, you know, pick one or the other, but I'd like to see the Pats at least be relevant, man. And it's looking pretty terrible.
There is one rumor floating around because the Minnesota Vikings made a trade this week and they added a second first round pick this year. And the rumor is that they want to move up to the Patriots spot to take a quarterback, and the Patriots may end up getting a bunch of draft picks. So we'll see what happens, see if that comes to fruition.
So let's put a pin in this before we get to shitty picks. And I want to ask Chris and the professor a question about these phantom videos. Thomas, Did you see this week's Phantom video?
I did. With an homage to, what is it? The Roddy Piper movie. I can't think of the name of it now. They Live. That's it. Yeah.
But he seems to be chirping certain individuals more than others.
Yes.
And Chris, do you want to weigh in on that?
I can weigh in on last week's with the cocaine. I thought was pretty interesting. I know that was more for Brad, but you know, listen, if I didn't get drug tested every day, I'd be ripping lines before coming on this podcast, and then we'd really be laughing, okay? We'd have a fucking good time. And I was thinking, maybe, Mr. Phantom, if you actually ripped a line or two, you would come on the podcast, huh?
So I'm just going to drop this week's video probably, and I'll just edit it right in there. So we'll put the conversation back to the professor. We're going to do Tom's shitty picks. Thomas, back to you.
All right. Tom's shitty picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. The brewery is home to a banquet hall, an on-site restaurant, and a members-only lounge. Everything they brew is done in-house, including their sours, their lagers, and their vodka sodas. And they have something for everyone. So if you're in Whitby, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. Now, this past week, I think I pretty much nailed it with I took Igor Shesterkin, and I three games. He went 2-1, but the two wins were both shutouts. So between the three games and our fantasy pool that Andy and I do, he ended up with 33 points, I think. So kind of nailed that one.
In that pool, Professor.
What's that?
Somebody else is in that pool, Professor.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot Keith. That's right. So this week, I'm going to go with I'm going towards the Edmonton Oilers. I'm going to take Zach Hyman. He has four games this week against Montreal and Buffalo at home, and he's playing Toronto and Ottawa on the road. He's got 65 points on the season, and he's a plus 30. I think he's in for a big week.
Chris, you got any hot hockey fantasy picks that you're you can weigh in on, add to that this week?
Honestly, I've been checked out for like 2 weeks now.
Our podcast being dog shit, your picks are dog shit.
Yeah, definitely. I won 2 years in a row against my work league, and I sadly did not even make the playoffs this year. I went too hard on defense, and it was just a bad strategy. And you know, I had struggled with goalies all year. It was a disaster year for me in fantasy. I'm pretty disgraced about it, actually.
Keith, I'm going to ask you a question. Who is your fantasy pick of the year? Who is your big pickup that has done nothing but great things for you?
It's been a tough year.
No shit.
It was the year of rebuilding, and it's been a disaster. I mean, I think my pick of the year was dropping Stuart Skinner. I thought that was a great move. I dropped him after losing about 17 games and about out of 20. And he's done nothing but win every game since, but not on my roster.
I'm with you on that one, brother.
That's my amazing pick of the year.
One of the things we've been lacking this year with this podcast is talking a lot of hockey. And Keith is a plethora of good hockey knowledge. I had many good conversations with him growing up. Especially trading hockey cards back in the day. That's one of the things this last since Christmas has been lacking is some really good hockey talk. So go ahead, Tom.
Can we talk about how the league needs to change something with the referees and make them available to the media after their game so they can be held accountable? Because that thing with Wes McCauley and John Tortorella this past week was ridiculous. I mean, he kicked Tortorella out of the game, and Tortorella kind of stayed on the bench. He wanted an explanation. McCauley skated down to the other end of the rink, didn't want anything to do with it. So, and Tortorella ended up getting suspended 2 games for it. And I just think it's ridiculous that the referees don't have to answer for anything.
Well, yeah, it's bad now because I don't even know what he did to get games and 50 grand. I've seen some coaches do way worse than that. And that's not even at an NHL level. But He didn't throw anything on the ice. He didn't throw water bottles. He didn't like hold up the game and nothing like that. He just refused to leave the bench. And I don't know if that's the reason why. But man, I thought it was a little bit harsh for what they threw the book at him for. But that's just me. And that's not being this guy either. That's just calling it like it is. I mean, he's been great all year. I mean, as far as he could have probably gone off a bunch of different times, but he hasn't. Keith, thoughts on Torts?
Dude, the league needs more Tortorellas, man. We just need more Tortorellas. Like, I mean, I'm fortunate, right? I got to witness this guy here for quite a few years, and he's awesome. And the players will tell you, they love him. Like, they love the guy. And it's great. The media needs more Tortorellas. I'm mixed on the meetings with the ref. I think the ref should have to answer for it. But can you imagine some of the press conferences with the referees with just getting hammered questions? I think it would be great as a referee. I would hate it, but they need to be held a little bit of a comp. Somebody needs to have a talk, you know, like in the press, but it's a little nuts. But we need more Tortorellas. That's just – we need more entertainment. That's just awesome. I love it.
I think that where people lack in there, everybody loves sports. Everybody gets involved. Everybody, you know, buys the swag or whatever. But what I don't understand about when people talk sports is at the end of the day, whether you're watching UFC, WWE, any one of the big four major sports, you're not playing. You want to be entertained. So when you take out the enforcers and you don't have these aspects of entertainment, you're not playing. So what are you getting wrapped up in being so conservative with your views on stuff? You want to be entertained, especially for the ticket prices that are out there. And that's what I don't understand about people's views on sports. They'll get into arguments with people that they've known since they were kids over something that doesn't concern you other than watching it. It's like going to a movie with your buddy and you're arguing over who's going to win or who's better, Marvel or DC, or, you know, who's going to win? Is it going to be Thanos or is it going to be the Avengers? Oh, let's get in a fist fight over it. Come on, man. Now it's all, you know, just for fun. And, you know, we all get wrapped up in it, but, you know, it's just the views on the sports fan. You're not playing. You never played at that level. So watch it. And I've seen fights in the stands. We've all seen fights in the stands. Over what? Your drunk ass? So it's crazy. It's crazy. So yeah, I agree with you. I've been saying it for the longest time. Now all the Vince McMahon stuff that's coming out, I'm not saying that Vince McMahon should run the NHL, but I wish the NHL was run like the WWE. More entertainment, more big budget, more pizzazz, and less, adding more teams does not. That's another thing. Talk about adding two more teams and one to Atlanta. That's
Anson Carter leading the group. He's leading the group.
Keith, thoughts on a third team in Atlanta?
Ridiculous.
Anybody?
I don't know. You know what? Adding two more teams, I'm actually okay with it. I mean, I don't want to water it down, but Atlanta again, I don't know. I mean, there's other markets I think that can sustain teams that would be better than Atlanta. But I think Atlanta has the people. I think it has the fan base if they do it right. They just haven't done it right.
No.
Last time was a disaster. But I think Atlanta could do it. I don't know. I don't know if I want to see another team in Atlanta, but I think it can sustain it. And you know what, if it's good for the league, I'm torn on the expansion, right? I think there's enough players. I think it actually could be good. But is it too soon? When is it too soon after we just added two more teams? So that's the question.
And when are the Nordiques going to get their chance to come back? Never. When is that going to happen? Never. I mean, that's terrible. I say it all the time that there are places that just deserve a second chance, and Atlanta's going to get three before Quebec or Hartford get a second chance. That's terrible. They gave the Jets a second chance. I mean, I know they're up and down with, how they draw, but at least they got a second chance at it. Minnesota got a second chance after the Stars left. There's plenty of possibilities, and I always thought that a great spot for an NHL team was Wisconsin. That's a hockey market, and you know, Milwaukee would be great because they got the University of Wisconsin there. That's a big hockey school. And why they don't have an NHL team is beyond me. Go ahead, Tom.
I don't think they should add any teams until they figure out what the hell to do with Phoenix, because it's a joke that they have them playing at Arizona State. I mean,
yeah. Have you seen the size of the rink? The size of the rink is ridiculous. I don't even think it holds 5,000 fans. Chris, want to weigh in before we move on?
Yeah, I'm big on, like, I don't want to see it watered down anymore. I feel like a lot of these NHL players probably should be in the AHL. I do like the idea of, you know, Quebec. Like, if you're going to put a team probably almost anywhere in Canada, is probably going to do pretty good. Never mind a team like that with the history of Quebec. That would be the only thing I wouldn't mind seeing. But to add two more teams, man, I don't want it watered down. That's all. I want to see the best of the best. I don't want to be
really
watching.
Pretty watered down. I don't understand how there's no room for the enforcers in the league, but there's room for two more teams worth of AHL quality players. Just if every team had an enforcer on it or somebody like that, it'd be at least entertaining to, you know, I don't know how you feel about Rempe, but at least he's entertaining. There's a story there. Keith Rempe.
Oh, love him. We need 20 more of those guys. And he's crossed the line a couple times, I think. Yeah. And he's 6'7". But, man, just like, I love it, man. Like, he's just, he's bringing enthusiasm. People are talking about it. I mean, it's everybody's, you know, half the people I think are up in arms about him. But I'm like, need more of this. Like, he's, man, I don't know. It's just fun. He's entertaining. He's an actually decent player. I know people say, oh, he's got no skill, but he's going to the net. He's creating. He's plus two. I mean, he's creating offense. So I love it, man. Bring more of those guys on.
Yeah, I agree. It's bringing great attention. It's all over social media. Yeah, you know, you see his face all black and blue. Like, I mean, that right there just gets people like, holy shit, this dude's getting wrecked. It's awesome. Yeah.
I'd like to see the number on how many jerseys that guy sold in like the 10 games that he's been in the NHL. And, you know, nobody's buying the fourth line jersey of anybody on any team, but they'll scoop those up. But if if you're PJ Stock or one of those guys, you're memorable. You know, you'll always have a place in that market to come back home and sign autographs and whatever, rather than being the guy that gets 2 minutes of ice time per period at the end of the period to kill it or whatever. Guys block shots all the time and they're not selling jerseys. So when the NHL realizes that and gets their head out of their ass, they'll, shows like Shorzy and movies like Slapshot, they never get old because of guys like that. And, so we got to talk some hockey. I feel good. I feel validated. I don't have the Southern boys here ruining my NHL talk. So we'll be getting hot and heavy though once the playoffs start. We'll be picking, and I still think I'm gonna say it. I still think the Bees are winning the whole thing this year, and I think they're gonna play Dallas in the finals. That's my pick.
You're trying to jinx them.
That's my pick.
Knock it off.
I still say Bees and Dallas. Keith, what do you think?
I can't say the Bees because I never will, because like these guys, I don't want to jinx it. And I actually don't think they're going to win it this year, unfortunately. I think it's going to come out of the West. I thought Dallas, I agree with you. I think Dallas was my pick early on. I think it's changed a little bit because now with the West, I don't know who it's going to be. It could be Vegas. It could be Dallas. It could be Colorado, even Edmonton. Like any of those teams I think are just stronger. I would say now I'm either Florida or Carolina out of the East, which, you know, again, I want it to be that, you know, team up around you guys. But I think it's Carolina or Florida. As long as Boston gets past, if they can beat Toronto, that's all I care about. That's my Stanley Cup. Just beat Toronto. That's all I care about.
So, Thomas, do you have anything to add before we start talking some wrestling?
I'm actually taking the Rangers this year. Rangers and my original pick before the season was Rangers and Vegas. So that's what I'm still sticking with, but we'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how it plays out. It'll be like 2 weeks away from starting. Chris, you got something to add or no?
Yeah. I mean, I love the Bruins, the season that they're playing this year, obviously. I don't think anybody expected to be for them to be having this such a good of a season. But yeah, the Rangers are just fire right now. Florida fire. These are going to be hard teams to beat. I think Colorado right now too. They're like really hot. The last 10 games, I think they have like one loss or something like that. They're, you know, there's a lot of teams that are heating up. You just got to heat up at that right time. The team that heats up just before the playoffs and carries it through. I mean, it could be anybody, but let's see. Let's see. I can't wait. And I know it ain't going to be the Philadelphia Flyers. That's all.
I want to ask Keith before we move on with from the hockey that we just lost his camera. But I want to ask him the winners and his biggest winner at the trade deadline and his biggest loser at the trade deadline. But we'll hold that thought. Tom, let's jump into some wrestling, start talking some. Chris, biography, Randy Orton, what do you got?
Yeah, so season 4 of the WWE Legends biography came out. Episode 1 was on Randy Orton. Never a huge fan of Randy Orton. I think I've expressed that before here on the podcast. After watching that, you get a lot of insight about how they came up and where he came from, you know. He went out, he was a Marine, actually. Once he got out there, he seen a lot of like hazing and shit that he didn't quite enjoy or agree with. It brought him a lot of memories of when he used to get picked on in high school and stuff. So he actually went AWOL, which was pretty nuts, just completely disappeared off base. I guess when he turned himself in, they put him in the brig. So basically he was like in jail. I forgot what his sentence was. It was like a couple of months, but he served like 30 some odd days on good behavior. And then they finally gave him his discharge papers. At that point, he contacted his dad, and that's when he was trying to get a shot. And I guess they gave Bruce Prichard a call, and he talked to Vince, brought him in. And he was extremely disliked because he got caught in the hot mic about talking about just being there for money. You know, he wasn't – and, you know, wrestling, these guys go there. It's the love of the business. It's the family. It's whatever. And here you got this young, arrogant prick that you know, just wanted to make some money, dollar bills, and get the hell out of there. You know what I mean? Kind of reminded me a little bit of Ultimate Warrior. And I remember his episode too. A lot of people talking a lot of dirt on him because he was like a big, you know, wanted his own dressing room, fancy guy, money, all about the money. But yeah, then he had some injuries, ended up with like a drug problem too, which was huge. Which, I mean, how many times have we seen this over and over in wrestling, right? Ended up ODing. Which was pretty shocking to go through something like that. And I guess between his newborn daughter and Santino Morella actually really helped him get out of that and focus. And, you know, he got his shit back put together. And I mean, we all know youngest WWE champ in the history of WWE, you know. So it was a good story all around. I really enjoyed it. Kind of brought me like a new sense of respect for the guy, you know. And again, the only reason I disliked him is like, I like guys who can evolve their characters, change things up a bit. I just felt like he was always the Viper, Randy Orton, and, you know, it was just kind of, it kind of got boring for me. That's why I never favored him. But overall, good dude and good results in the end. It was a very good episode, definitely.
I couldn't believe how much they actually talked about how much drug use he had in that episode. It was pretty good, and he was pretty candid about the whole thing, and it seems like he's a different person at his age now than he was when he started, as far as being humble and, you know, the amount of time he's been there now, it's been over 20 years now. So, you know, quite the journey with him and, you know, how he met his wife and all that stuff is a pretty good story. And Tom, you have anything to add?
Yeah. I thought some of the stories were, kind of had like his moment where he kind of knew he had to clean up was at his father's Hall of Fame ceremony, and they got it on, not on film, but he was like hungover and all messed up from the night before, and he was leaning over in his seat really bad, and they said the cameraman actually had to come over and tell him, hey, sit up in your chair, Randy. And he said that kind of, I mean, once he sobered up, he thought about it. I mean, that was his dad's big moment, and he really wasn't there for him. And yeah. Looking at the surgery that he had just, I won't say recently, but the back surgery he had and what they did, I just can't believe he's even back at his age. I mean, and you can see, I don't know if he's selling it or if you could see certain things he does in the ring now since he's been back. You could see he's in a little bit of pain still. So hopefully I have to say, I was never a fan, but it seems like he's really matured over the over those 20 some odd years he's been in wrestling. So he actually won me over a little bit with it.
Yeah, the thing that got me was to touch on the Hall of Fame speech, that he didn't even put any effort into it. He just winged it. And looking back on it, he said that he did a disservice to you know, his father and his grandfather by being that laxed with the effort that he gave. Not that the speech wasn't decent, but I think from a perspective of looking at it, saying, hey, listen, I really could have done these guys some justice and really put some, you know, pen to paper and speak from the heart. And, you know, he just winged it and, you know, blames it all on the drugs and, you know, rightfully so. And he knows it. So, yeah, good episode. And speaking of good episodes, episode 2 of Dark Side of the Ring, way different than the earthquake episode. What a crazy life. I never knew Buff Bagwell's dad was a stock car drag racer, and they came from money, and his father was a legit millionaire with a lumber business, and what a crazy story. Let me just add before I kick it to you guys, the Scotty Riggs part at the end with the reconnection with Scotty Riggs, I thought was fantastic. It really, that part at the end with him and reconnecting with Scotty Riggs, for the people that I haven't seen, I don't want to ruin it. But what a good, good, good ending to that part of the story. Buff is the stuff. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, no, it was good. What really got me was how well-liked he was, you know? He comes out on, you know, on WWE as this arrogant, completely, you know, buffed out, best body, doing all this crazy shit. But like, he literally must have been just a great guy, you know. Even all his, what do you have, like 3 ex-wives or some shit, and they all, like, to this day they love him, you know what I mean? So like, that's pretty odd that you married, you have an ex-wife, and they still love you, you know. So he was doing something right. But yeah, I love the stories of his dad was cracking me up throughout that thing. It was a wild couple of situations that they had
with the guns.
When he went to protect the mom, I guess it was starting to get some abuse at home, and he went to go grab a gun, and you know, the father says, what are you going to shoot me? And he was like, I don't want to unless I have to, the type of, you know,
scenario. Shot him in his hand.
Yeah, and then he ended up taking a couple of shots. He had like a few inches taken off right here at his wrist. He had to have a bone graft from his hip to get it fixed and shit.
The bone graft was from his nose. Did you see that nose on the old
man? Yeah,
what's up with that? That must be from the free cocaine he would give him as a kid.
Definitely a wild household to live in, that's for sure.
Thomas,
there is some crazy shit in that family. That's all I gotta say. With the mom, the story with the mom made me crack up, because it, I mean, you couldn't make this whole story up, where they tell the story of how his mother would shave his testicles and his junk in the tub. And they had a referee from the old WCW days, and I can't make this stuff up, the guy's name was Slick Johnson. And he said he walked in and he actually witnessed it. So, it's just some crazy stuff. And then the whole thing with, he ended up, which I had forgotten the story, where he had calf implants and I guess his body rejected them, and he ended up in the hospital and he was almost died. And I mean, he didn't want to get them removed. They had to actually talk him into it. And he finally did, but he kept the implants when they took him out. And they said he's got it at his house right now. I mean, it's just some crazy things.
So you mean to tell me that the episode that we do on Buff Bagwell, he's got 3 ex-wives, and the guy that's got ex-wives, Ed, is not here. Just to add, the thing that got me is his first wife, right? She was on all through the episode. And she was saying that when he turned from Marcus Anders Bagwell to Buff Bagwell, she saw him and she's like, nope, it'll never happen again. We'll never get back together, because that's him on like 1,000. So, yeah, she just knew that it was not going to work out. But that, you know, it seems like a lot of it is at the time probably very, I don't want to use the wrong word, very controversial or heartbreaking to go through, but they seem to all look back on it now and kind of like make light of it. But even Eric Bischoff was saying that he was very arrogant but lovable. So That's it was a great episode. The takeaways, always DDP at the end, right?
Always a good guy, it seems. Yep.
Always the guy that's willing to go the extra mile to get these guys back where they belong. Go ahead, Tom.
I've got one other thing with the whole story that he told about the fight that he had with Shane Helms, where they were training. And he said that supposedly Bagwell had Shane Helms threw a frozen water bottle at his head, and he had to get 24 staples. Well, Shane Helms came out this week and said he's full of shit. He said, everybody talks about him changing. He says, but I can tell you firsthand, he's lying. He says, he didn't come out and tell the story, but he said there were plenty of witnesses that could come out with the real story. So I don't know. There's something else there.
Oh, very good. The plot thickens. Speaking of things changing, I heard that they added Brock Lesnar back into the WWE roster. Now, thoughts on that?
Doesn't surprise me, because actually the rumor now that they never really confirmed that it was him that is included in that lawsuit. So, I mean, I guess, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But the interesting thing with that lawsuit is they've come out with a few more names with, like, who are different people, like Stephanie McMahon's name was included now with being in the meeting, I guess, that she had with the whole group. The rumor now is that Brock may show up at WrestleMania and end up fighting Gunther for the IC belt.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I seen the whole WrestleMania idea with Gunther. Until shit is all out on the table, I mean,
no pun intended, shit show.
They got to run with it. You know, Brock Lesnar is a big money guy. He's going to bring in money to the WWE. I mean, you know, like I said, until, you know, shit's absolutely definitive, just keep rolling on with the show, man.
Thoughts on, real quick, Sasha Banks showing up in AEW? Needle mover or just a, 5 minutes and then it'll be back to flat? What do you think?
I think it was a needle mover, but she's already said that she eventually wants to go back. Or she actually said she's going back to the WWE at some point in her career. So, I mean, I think it's good. She's gotten money wherever she's gone. She's earned money in Japan before she got hurt. So I think I don't think they'll ever have her main event a pay-per-view, but like she did in WWE, but I think it's a good move.
Chris?
Yeah, I mean, she's a great wrestler. You know, I love her technique in the ring. She's solid, one of the best out there. Sexy from Boston. I mean, come on. Well, you can't go wrong, really. What is it? Monet? What, something Monet now?
Mercedes Monet.
That's it.
And she can bring Snoop Dogg in, because I think that's her cousin. So, you know, she can bring him in at some point.
Let's talk real quick. Speaking of Hall of Famers, we had two announcements and Tom's sitting on something. We'll add to that at the end. Muhammad Ali was announced for the WWE Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts, Thomas?
That guy can go into any Hall of Fame he wants. I mean, I think he's what was he, the referee?
And yep.
Was it WrestleMania 1 or 2?
Yep.
So I have no problem with it. I mean, with some of the other people that have gone in, I have absolutely no problem. I think he deserves it.
Chris, Muhammad Ali, in or out?
Yeah, dude. I mean, you have to, you know what I'm saying? Muhammad Ali is like Michael Jackson, you know what I mean? He's like my son knows who Muhammad Ali is. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, he did his appearance at WrestleMania as a referee. You gotta put him in. He's just, everybody knows him. When you get to that type of level of fame, you know, being so famous like that, an 11-year-old kid who was born 30, 40 years after you were at the top of your shit knows your name and knows your music or no. Whatever, that's legend status, man. Of course he belongs there. Absolutely.
Keith, what do you think about Muhammad Ali going into the WWE Hall of Fame?
You know, I'd say it's ridiculous just because he's a boxer, but it was WrestleMania 1, right? Like Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, like he's the guest ref. It's like that's where it really began, right? That was the beginning of it all. So it's kind of like the OG, right? You got to put him in, right? Because that's where it started, man. And that's, you got to give credit to those guys.
They added him into the video game this year. He's on the WWE video game. So you get the you know, they're introduced them to an audience of kids that are probably going to watch WrestleMania, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, that's the guy that's on the video game. So, you know, from a younger perspective, and it kind of sheds light on that. I like that. A lot of people forget Muhammad Ali was a huge, 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 huge wrestling fan growing up. He was a big fan of Gorgeous George. That's where he got almost all of his shtick from. And he was always in and out with the wrestling business as far as behind the scenes. If he crossed paths with those guys, Freddie Blassie, when Blassie was in Hollywood, different things. He was always a big fan of the wrestling business and the guys back then, the old school guys. A little fun fact, Thomas Antonio Inoki, Muhammad Ali fight, right? 1976.
Yes. Yeah.
The first closed circuit wrestling event. And it was, you know, they did it over in Japan. And it was broadcast over here, and I was too young to remember it, but it was one of the first free pay-per-view when, you know, we all remember closed circuit as kids where you had to go to a place to watch it on the big screen or whatever. So, yeah, that was so Muhammad Ali actually had a legit boxer versus wrestler match. So can say it is what it is, and I mean, he's an icon. So the other one, kind of, you know, if you're – an old school wrestling fan. He never had a minute in the WWE, Thunderbolt Patterson. You know, every year they do add a few black athletes. I thought Muhammad Ali was this year's pick to go in, but Thunderbolt Patterson out of nowhere. What do you think, Tom?
Surprised me mainly because he was blackballed in the 70s for trying to start a wrestlers union. And we all know that Vince does not like, he was very anti-union with the wrestlers. So that surprised me right there in itself, to be honest with you. So, I mean, maybe this is the Triple H and whoever else is in charge. Maybe this is their way of maybe saying and trying to show that Vince isn't involved in it. So we'll see. But I have no problem with going in.
Chris, any thoughts on Thunderbolt Patterson?
I'm literally just looking up who he is. I'm not huge into that ancient history of wrestling. But I mean, seems like a good guy. Triple H talks about his influence that he had with peers and people outside of the business and stuff. So I'm not going to give it a yes or no, cause I'm not that deep into who this fine looking hairy gentleman is.
Well, he was known for having a lazy eye and, a lot of people say that, like, the superstar Billy Grahams, the Dusty Rhodes, the Jimmy Valiants, guys like that stole that street talk from Thunderbolt Patterson. He was known to go into the wrestling territories back in the day and really capture the black audience with bringing more diversity to the shows. And he was very popular with the demographic of you know, coming into a territory, winning them over and getting them to come see the matches. So he was definitely, if you're around at that time, you knew who he was. He was always in and out of like TBS wrestling and always seemed to have a niche audience of people that really enjoyed him, like a pre-Junkyard Dog almost. You know, Junkyard Dog was, he was like that, but more in the 70s. So yeah,
I just read something kind of interesting, actually, if you got a second. It says that Patterson, who became minister at his own right, also believed to have inspired the character portrayed by WWE Hall of Famer, the American Dusty Rhodes. Your boy. Your homeboy.
Yep. So he always said that he was the first, like the jive talking type wrestler that everybody kind of stole from. He got bitter in his old years saying that, you know, a lot of things were stolen from him, like you know, his charisma, his the way they would fire up in the ring were all stolen from him. So in his later years he got kind of bitter towards the wrestling business. A lot of them do. But yeah, Thomas, What do you think? We're going to wrap it up this week and bring it home with some Bridge Street Records?
Yeah, first, let me just say about the rumor I heard. I've read online about the Hall of Fame. There are two more thing I read was that there is a sheet going around with the complete list. And there were two more people supposedly on the list. One is The Rock's grandmother for being a promoter back in the, I don't know, 60s, I guess it was. And the other one is Bray Wyatt. So I don't know if this is just to see who's leaking the names or if this is really going to happen, but we will see.
So Bray Wyatt, I don't think was there long enough to be a Hall of Famer. I think that they've left out other people that deserve to go in before him. I'll stick to my Ivan Koloff and Midnight Express. Those guys deserve to go in, and Jim Cornette deserves to go in too, either with the Midnight Express or alone as a manager. That's my two cents with that. Chris, I know you're a big fan of The Rock. Leah Maivia going in as a promoter. What do you think? Dirty pool?
Fuck no.
Okay, there you go.
That is ridiculous. Come on. I mean, you know, I think about this all the time. To be given yes or no's, at what point do they run out of people to put in there, right? So maybe that's why they kind of always have a few every year that's kind of just like, oh, whatever type of, you know, and she's just one of those, oh, whatever type of, you know, let-ins, I guess.
Put in, oh, whatever. So I agree with what Brad said last week. There should be a measuring stick of what your contribution is. I mean, some people are just there for a quick minute and they do a lot. And then there's people there that are there forever and they don't really move the needle. Like, I forget exactly what Brad said, but are you selling a lot of t-shirts? Are you bringing people, whether it's the territory days too, are you bringing people in? Do people go to watch you? Are people involved in what you're doing? Do you have a long-term effect on, you know, generational talent, like a Hulk Hogan, you know, generational talent, Bruno Sammartino, generational talent. It's one of those things that even we weren't around for Gorgeous George, but this guy was what brought wrestling to mainstream TV every week. And people know who he is. So when you, Andre the Giant, he's been dead all this time and people still know who he is. I mean, he's a household name still to this day. That's a Hall of Famer. I mean, you want to throw around legend status, all this other stuff. Where do you draw the line? I mean, like I said, go ahead, Chris.
No, I agree. But like, at what point do you have nobody else to put in there?
Well, you know that's what I'm you saying? Do. If you only need one that year and there's only one worthy, just do one and make it a big thing.
Yeah, but it's a whole show on TV. Like, I know. You know, they got to have fillers. It's I know. Tough.
Tom, you want to add to that one time before we bounce?
I got nothing. You guys have done a good job with that.
Keith, thoughts on what a Hall of Famer is?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's someone that's had an impact on it, right? On people or the fans or watching. And I'm with you. Like, you don't have to have X amount every year. Just if there's only one, there's only one. I know it's about money and the entertainment and the whole show, but I'm with you, man. Just don't put people in. You're watering it down. Like, put people down that made an impact. There's enough people that made an impact, you know. And then if you need to spread it out, it's getting thin, spread it out. But just put guys that make an impact. Like you said, it's the names, right? It's the reason why you tuned in to watch. And even if you're not the biggest wrestling fan, you know who these people are.
Right, right. I think that especially from, you know, wrestling gets that bad rap all the time. Like, you know, you're stupid for watching wrestling or whatever. It's one of those things. It's entertainment. It's fun. You get involved in it like watching a movie. Like, oh, you might just get into one storyline and just be like, I'm just turning on and see what this guy's doing and watch it just for that. And maybe something else will catch your eye. But, it transcends pop culture when you know who Andre the Giant is and you've never ever watched a wrestling match. That's legend status. That's when you can market a Andre the Giant Obey shirt and nobody knows who he is and it just looks cool on a t-shirt or whatever. That's a legend. I mean, everybody knows who Hulk Hogan is and did he have a big machine behind him? Yeah, but he's a larger than life character. And I think what that's lacking is being larger than life. Those guys don't come around that often. And you never want to see a guy that you know you could kick their ass wrestling in a wrestling ring. That's what's lost on it. But we'll put a pin in that for this week, and I'm sure we'll have more next week, especially if The Rock's grandmother is going in. So, Thomas, let's pick the Bills.
All righty.
Our friend Roger.
This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass. You can also visit them online at purchasestrecords.com or on their Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store. And we talked last week about Roger's band All Sinners opening up for Ace Frehley. Well, they just added a show with Ace Frehley as well. So they added a show, I believe, I'm not 100% positive, but I think it might be in New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah, we'll drop that in. Maybe one of the Twin Powers activate radio. Boom. So we're going to wrap this up. We usually do a little roundtable shout out at the end. I'm going to just start it by saying that our boy Dennis was here last week and nobody wished him a happy 51st birthday. It was the night before his birthday and I forgot. I dropped the ball. I want to apologize and say that, it's me. I should have blew him up on the spot because he was here and we could all wish him a happy birthday, but I want to wish him a happy birthday. And all this week, I got a little diatribe I'm going to throw out there. With two other hockey coaches with me, I am just blown away at these tryouts when I go, and these parents are losing their fucking mind. They are losing their fucking shit watching these kids, and they're like, skate, giving the hand signal, all this stuff. I'm like, do you realize it's not your journey? I'm going to talk right into the camera. It is not your journey. It is your kid's journey. You're just sitting in the passenger seat, giving them directions. Calm the fuck down. If they make the team, they make the team. If they don't, there's other teams. Calm down. I've seen so much shit this week. People losing their goddamn mind. Calm down. Calm down. That's my saying for the week. Just please go sit in the car. Don't watch. And then when you get the email and see what team they're on, say, hey, you did a great job. Not enough you did a great job. A lot of yelling. I saw two parents yelling at their kid, dragging them right out of the rink. And these are like 12-year-old kids. I'm like, what is going on here? Chris?
I don't even want to comment to that. Hey, I already told you, I'm simplifying things. Ryland tried out for one team this year, and it's staying that way, and I could care less. Shout-outs. I got two of them. All right. One's going to go to my homegirl, Ivana. We love our ladies who watch the podcast. She works at a bar that I frequent. She hooks it up, gets me, you know, nice and toasty. Good girl. She's going to watch from now on. And my other shout out is going to go to our homeboy who didn't make it today, Brad. I just got a message on the phone. I'm deep on the phone here. They made it to the 8U championship for the NUCCA. So congratulations, Brad Lucas, kicking ass. Good job.
He's not losing his marbles like I saw this week. Hopefully he's patting the kid on the back and buying him a soda, for Christ's sakes. Brad, buy your kid a soda, for fuck's sake. Keith, you got your shout-outs.
Shout-out to all the coaches and organizations out there in youth hockey, because 7 months of this and the stuff that, especially the ones that don't get paid, you know, 7 months, it's a long season, a lot of crap to deal with. But you know what? It's a lot of work, and hopefully parents understand and thank those coaches and appreciate the stuff that goes into it, because it's a long season. And you know, and in 3 weeks we get tryouts, like you said. And I think our organization has 400 kids signed up already. And being part of the board, you know, we have to be there for that. So I would like to ask some doctors out there to do a study on parents on their brain during tryout season and see the difference between their brains during tryout season and the rest of the year. Be amazed at what they come up with, because like you guys said, it's an absolute crazy time. And it's like you said, take a deep breath, whatever happens, if they're good enough, they'll find a team. It'll be okay. Trust me, but they're stressing, they're freaking out. It's that time of year. So good luck to all the coaches and organizations out there that have to deal with this. So,
well, before we get to Tom, I want to ask Chris, does it have to be the A team?
Hell no. I kept Rylan off of last year's first tryout purposely so he could be on B. Because you know what? At the end of the day, he's going to play through high school, and that'll probably be the end of his hockey career. And I'm totally okay with that, okay? And had he been on the A team this year, which this kid that he played with last year, he was on the same team with, who he by far outperformed, that made the A team. Great. If he would have made that A team this year, he would have been bottom of the lineup, top, you know, bottom third, maybe had two or three goals this season. He had a blast of a year. He scores almost every fucking game. He's loving life. So am I. I'm not in the car. He's not arguing. He's not fighting with me. It's been the best year so far of hockey. I swear I'm simplifying it more and more, and I don't mind it. I'm not chasing. Sometimes you get caught up. You know, I was one of them. I'll admit there was times I got caught up like, oh, I want to push him. I want to push him. And oh, yeah, I'll do. Yeah. No, I'm done with it. I'm done with it.
97 goals good, though, Chris?
No, hell no. Hell no. He's not a Kennedy yet. No.
Okay. All right. One more game. One more regular season game tomorrow.
Better get that 100.
Three for the 100. And then, you know, sky's the limit. But, Tom, you're going to close us out this week. Big shoes to fill. Shout out to Ed, Brad, all the guys down at work. Go ahead.
I got two shout outs. One, I want to give a shout out to the jabronis who stole the truck that had all the Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads for Jaromir Jagr bobblehead night in Pittsburgh, and they forced them to postpone it and cancel it. And but I'll be looking on eBay to see if I can add it to the man cave back here. And the second one is to the guys. Tomorrow night is my 31st fantasy baseball draft with the same bunch of guys, including the Portuguese Phantom. So shout out to the boys. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, so there you have it. We want to thank Keith for coming on this week. It was his first time coming on. We're going to have him on again. We're going to get a bunch of new people on here. We're going to get the family back together. Hopefully, you know, we can start bringing guys back into the fold that we've, you know, lost touch with, and we can, you know, get the whole crew back together one week. Hopefully for the 75th or the 100th episode, we'll have a whole clown car pulling up to that episode. So we'll see you when we see you. And thanks everybody for coming on.
Thanks for having me.